Friends, our series in the Psalm draws to a close this morning. Andrew will be preaching for us in just a moment on Psalm 32. Would you like to open to Psalm 32 with me now, and I'll read that to us. Psalm 32. Of David, a Maskil. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew. It's great to have the opportunity to preach to you this morning from God's Word. Before I begin, please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us from your word this morning. Please, may our hearts be open to receive teaching from you. Amen. Well, I'm not sure about you, but I hate tax. I really, really hate tax. And it's not the paying of the tax that bothers me. That's not the thing. I mean, that contributes to society. That's a great thing. I'm all for that. No, it's the paperwork. I can't stand it. I'm really no good at it, and it really frustrates me in a really bad way. In my early 20s, I had my worst tax experience. I picked up a part-time job, and it was had this opportunity to be self-employed, doing this little job on the side. They gave the option of not paying tax until the end of the financial year, and I thought, oh, that makes me feel a bit big and special. I'll give that a go. It was a terrible idea. The end of the year came round, and like, I hated doing taxes anyway, but now everything was just more complicated, and I procrastinated. I just didn't do my tax. But it weighed on me. It was this horrible burden that I was feeling. But I didn't do it. I just ignored it. The job was just a few hours a week, so I managed to just keep it going on the side while I was doing other things. So year after year went by, and soon 6 years of unpaid tax from this job was weighing heavily on me. Plus the unknown fines or penalties that went along with that, which I didn't know what they were. Is that tax evasion? I guess so. I was getting quite concerned. But I would do my best to shut it out of my mind as best as I could. Yet it lingered, pressing down on me, grinding away at my subconscious whenever I got a chance. Well, in the end, I just grabbed my phone and I called the tax department. I confessed to them. I said, almost in tears, this disastrous tax predicament that I found myself in. And with them, started a plan to get it worked out, sorted, and any fines paid. And the heaviness and the burden lifted from me. And taking a deep breath, I felt free. Do you know that feeling? The joy and relief of a heavy burden lifted off your shoulders? This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 32, and we'll be thinking a bit about this feeling, the feeling of relief at a heavy burden being lifted away. But instead of thinking about tax or anything else, we'll be thinking about sin, guilt, confession and forgiveness. Hopefully your Bible's open. Look with me, Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Here in verses 1 and 2, David speaks of the happiness of being forgiven by God. The psalm begins with the emotion of elation. This is blessedness, or happiness, to be forgiven by God. There are other psalms which start with the blessed person. Psalm 1, for example. But in Psalm 1, the blessed person is the righteous person. Whereas here in Psalm 32, the blessed one is the forgiven one. Notice too the description of forgiveness. It's described in three ways. Whose transgressions are forgiven, which some translators is being lifted away. Whose sins are covered by God. Whose sin the Lord does not count against them. It's as though it no longer belongs to them. It's no longer their worry anymore. It's crossed off the books. This blessed person has no deceit in their heart. They're an open book. It's like before God, they've got no need to hide. They're bare and known as friends are known, possibly giving opportunity for relationship, communion with God. Though the psalm begins by stating this as a fact, the emotion the psalm begins with is that of elation, joy at sins forgiven. Have you ever felt like that? Have you felt blessed, happiness, at being forgiven by God? Are you elated by forgiveness of sin? I want to ask, how does this Sunday morning find you? How are you feeling? Are you elated at forgiveness of sin? Does it give you joy? Is this something that's not far from your mind or just quite foreign? Maybe you're thinking, of course, every day I wake up and I thank God for rescuing a sinner like me from hell. The joy of grace at his forgiveness, it doesn't leave me, it's ever real. Or perhaps maybe thinking, well, yeah, I do know joy from God's forgiveness. It's not quite as fresh as that, but I know it, I've have felt it before. Or maybe you're thinking, sure, forgiveness from God, it seems good in theory, and of course I'm grateful, but it's kind of like getting a gift like a second toaster. Like, I know it's a good thing, but, you know, it's nice to get it, but the joy is more a theoretical thing rather than a heartfelt joy. Then again, perhaps, maybe you aren't sure you even need forgiveness at all. And so you question whether forgiveness is something to be excited about in the first place. I don't know how you're feeling, but I want you to ask yourself, am I elated at God's forgiveness of my sin? Well, the psalmist David, he didn't always feel elated and joyful. The psalm continues as David describes his experience. Look at verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Here in verse 3 and 4, David's song describes his experience. as though taking us back in time to experience with him what happened when he kept silent about his sin, hiding and not acknowledging it. David kept silent, and yet the silence is broken by anguished groaning of pain, perhaps. No, silence is not possible. Fulfilling the void of his silence is the sound of anguish. And perhaps groaning is too soft, too quiet sounding, as some translate this word as screaming or roaring like a lion. For though he's silent, his bones are crying out loud. The feeling is of aching, deep aching within his bones. Like bones that are screaming, roaring within him. Within him, he feels a mess. And from without, he has a sense of heaviness. The heavy weight of the hand of God, crushingly heavy, weighing on his shoulders. And he describes having his strength sapped away like a kiwi in the scorching Australian desert. It's like the heaviness is sucking away his life, sucking him dry. This feeling is all around him, enveloping him, encompassing him. His bones groan all day. God's heavy hand is on him day and night. And he feels it all over, aching within, heaviness without. Can you think of a time when you felt like this? An aching, heaviness, burdened, troubled, feeling like you're sick, but you're not sick. When did you feel this way? Was it from some looming deadline or a commitment and pressure? Or was this feeling at the more serious thing of unconfessed sin? Look with me to verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Here in verse 5, David speaks of confession and lifted guilt. Notice with me the description, as David describes his confession in three ways. He describes it as acknowledgement of his sin to God, of not covering up his iniquity, it's a hard word to say. And then, like a step back, he then tells us of his intention to confess, saying, I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. In his threefold description, there's a sense of a building tension as his sin is acknowledged, not covered, and then take a step back, and I said, I will confess. Then right to the end of the verse, forgiveness is described in this understated way. So we could quite easily overlook the significance of this powerful moment. After the build-up of these three descriptions of confession, there it is. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. There it is. A powerful moment of relief. There's a sense of release, of relief, and unburdening, of feeling light as a feather. Can you feel it? The heaviness, the burden lifting away, which is a fair way to translate this word of forgiveness, lifted, as God's heavy hand is lifted off him. We should sense a lightness within, a joy of an unburdened soul. Well, seeing that this is a psalm, I'd like you to think of what that moment might sound like as a song. From the dark, sorrowful heaviness and anguish of the previous verses to building tension and resolve toward resolution, building and amping up into a crescendo before bursting into a glorious high, soaring and uplifting, music of relief, release and freedom, a joyous, glorious, and satisfying high. Let that sound, let that feeling resonate. Can you imagine that music? That feeling like the weight of a heavy burden lifted from your shoulders. Freedom, release, weightless. And you breathe a deep sigh of relief. Have you experienced this unburdening and relief because your sins are forgiven? Concealing sin brings anguish, aching, heaviness at guilt. But confessing sin, acknowledging sin, brings elation at God's forgiveness as he lifts that sin away. The second half of our psalm just flows on from here. Look with me at David's exhortation in verses 6 and 7. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Here in verses 6 and 7, David makes an exhortation to pray and seek God. Notice with me how he has a sense of urgency here. Let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. There is a time for calling on God and confessing sin, and it is now. There may not be a later time. This urgency is then amped up with a serious safety threat. Notice the rising of the mighty waters. Flood threatens. Sin will be judged. Perhaps like in Isaiah, where a judgment of waters rises up to the neck. Or perhaps like the waters of the great flood in Genesis. I'm reminded of the frightening scene there is. Imagine the rain starting to fall and the waters rising, but the door to the ark is firmly shut. There comes a time when it's too late to get to safety. But now is the time when he may be found. So that when the waters come, they won't reach. In verse 7, David speaks of the security and comfort he has in God. God is a hiding place, a secret, safe place, so that the one who calls on God is secure, protected by God from trouble. Notice with me that security in God is two-pronged. The first prong is secrecy, a hiding place where threats can't reach. For if they can't find you, how can you be harmed? In case that isn't enough, the second prong is protection. Protection from God, or rather by God, from trouble. And then to top off this incredible picture of safety, God sings. Surround sound, songs of deliverance. This is beautiful. It's beautiful. I think it can easily be missed. Just sneaking in at the end of that verse there. Surround sound, songs of deliverance from God. What do you think that feels like? God singing songs of deliverance. Well, I reckon that's got to feel like the comforting hug of a loving father. Songs of deliverance, they project a confidence, a certainty of victory, making those who are surrounded in his embrace feel secure and at peace. There is urgency here. Seek God while he may be found, for either way, you will be surrounded, engulfed, enveloped, either by waters of judgment or by God's songs of deliverance. So let us find safety in the forgiveness of the loving arms of our Saviour. Look with me at verses 8 to 10. Verses 8 to 10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but they must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Here in verses 8 to 10, David's psalm continues in an exhortation. In verse 8, we've got a very popular verse that you might find familiar. Maybe it was a memory verse, or maybe you've seen it as a Christian wall hanging or embroidered on a pillow. It's very popular. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? But what's it doing here? And there's a sense where it's kind of confusing. Who's talking? Well, I take it as a change with a new voice. We've heard from David, a change of voice here of God speaking. I think here in verse 8, David writes on behalf of God. God as instructor, teacher, and counselor. I take it as God's voice because of what is said, especially about the watching over with a loving eye, which I think fits with God's unfailing love described in verse 10. But let's consider more about what is said in these verses. These verses beckon. They beckon to submit to God's loving direction, to not reject understanding, but to trust God, for he loves you. Acknowledging sin, confessing to God and saying how wrong we've been, well, in this repentance, turning away from sin, it's implicit. Confessing and admitting our sin to God naturally belongs with rejecting the wrong way and choosing a new right way. Well, as repentance means new direction, in verse 8, God says he will lead in that new direction. He will lead the one who follows him on a new path, and he does it out of love. Verse 9 goes on to emphasize this point of God's teaching and understanding and leading in love, saying, so don't be like a horse, don't be like a mule. They've got to be wrangled and manipulated to go the right way. Don't be like them. Don't reject God's teaching. Don't reject learning. You know, I think we can get confession wrong sometimes. I think we get confession wrong when we think we can confess to God, but we aren't really willing to be taught by God. We confess our sin, but we aren't willing to live any differently. Unwilling for change. Really, is there any repentance or confession at all? Unwilling to gain understanding, often we don't learn and we make the same mistakes. Like a horse with a bit in our mouth, we have to be pulled around by our mouths. I think we can also get confession wrong in other ways too. I think we get it wrong when we think that confession to God means that we don't have to confess to others that we've hurt. I think this gets confession wrong. If we're willing to confess to God but not to others we've hurt, have we truly understood, truly acknowledged our sin if it doesn't lead to a changed way? I think part of recognizing and acknowledging our sin may mean the action of addressing our sin with others that we've hurt. You might say, hey, hold on. My sin's between me and God. I shouldn't need to confess to anyone else. And there would be a sense to where that is true, as the psalmist David, he also said in another psalm, Psalm 51, against you, you only have I sinned, he said to God, and done what is evil in your sight. So there is a sense where it is true. Our sin is against God, our Creator. However, owning up to our sin and confessing our sin to others that we've hurt, is a crucial part of taking our sin seriously before God. For example, some sins of mine hurt my wife. If I was to look at pornography, yes, I should confess that sin to God. But if I don't also confess the sin to my wife, have I truly acknowledged my sinfulness here? Has my confession to God come with true acceptance of him as my teacher, leading me in a new path? As Jesus said, if as you come to make an offering to God, you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go. Go be reconciled with your brother. Go and confess. This is probably what makes confession so hard. It's not a trivial say it then forget it ritual. It's hard because it means submitting yourself to God as your teacher, allowing your life to be under his watchful eye and counsel, submitting to him in repentance. It means seeking to follow through with real life change. That may also mean real life hurt and needing to seek resolution as we confess with others. Confession to God, it's not an unveiling of a secret to him. Of course, he doesn't need to be told you've sinned to know it. He knows all things. No, in confession, we have a shattering of our false view of self, where we think we're good as we are, and we like our own ways. It's a shattering of our will, as we acknowledge our sin before God, and as we submit to God's loving direction to change. Read verse 10 again with me. Verse 10. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. What will you choose? Will you choose troubles or love? For God's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Verse 11. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. We've seen that we must reject the foolish idea that if we suppress admission of sin, that it'll be okay. No, we must confess. And we should confess often too. As Jesus encouraged us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And in confessing regularly, in doing that, remembering our Saviour through whom we have forgiveness. Yet, important though all that is, I actually don't think that's the main point of the psalm. And I think the main point is seen both at the start and at the finish, in verse 1 and in verse 11. Let me read verse 11 again. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. I think the main point of the psalm is to rejoice in, to be glad, and sing at the wonderful forgiveness that we have experienced. Through God's forgiveness, we become the righteous person of verse 11. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know the joy of having the horrible weight of sin lifted from your weary shoulders, never to be seen again? Are you elated, uplifted by forgiveness of sin? Maybe you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel heaviness. I don't feel elation. I don't feel joy. I don't really feel anything. Perhaps you've confessed your sin, but you still feel burdened with guilt. I've felt this before too. Confessing, but not feeling relief. As people, I think we're quite complex and we feel things for many different reasons. Let us be sure, though, that we differentiate from guilt before God and regret at bad choices and mistakes we've made, seeing those as two different things. When it comes to guilt before God, maybe the issue is that part of me doesn't think God's grace covers everything. That maybe God needs help to forgive my sin. Sometimes I might think that God will only be happy if I wallow in the pain of my own guilt, somehow thinking that I can earn his forgiveness through my own sadness. Maybe I still feel burdened by sin because I don't really trust that God is able to or wants to forgive my sin. But no, let us be encouraged and be confident in the forgiveness that we have because of Jesus. Let us know the words of Romans 8, that there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Let us pray as Paul did for the Ephesians, that we would have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. When you confess your sin and trust in Jesus, be confident and trust in the complete forgiveness for those who trust in him. But on the other hand, perhaps you don't feel any heaviness, don't feel guilty or burdened at sin, but you know that maybe you should. Perhaps you've become acclimatized to the burden of guilt so you don't feel it anymore, hardened and immune, having ignored and subdued any twinge of guilt. I'd like to encourage you. Invite God to search your heart. Ask him. Ask him to bring to mind sin you haven't confessed. Ask him to give you a sense of the weight of sin, that you would know the glorious sense of having God lift your sin away in forgiveness. Ask that he would cause you to reflect on the horror of sin, the horror shown in the horrific death of Jesus. For in his death is how we see the evilness of sin, the great cost of forgiveness, and the wonderful love that God has for us. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Rejoice in the Lord, and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that in you we have forgiveness, that we can confess anything to you, and that you are able to and want to forgive us. Thank you. Please help us that we would trust in you. Please give us joy and excitement at the great forgiveness that you have given to us. Amen.